evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Aiken City Council meeting on June 25th, 2007. Glad to have you with us. Appreciate you coming and look forward to your comments. And if you would, as we begin our meeting, if you'd like to stand with us for our prayer and a pledge of allegiance.
May we pray. Heavenly Father, as we look to you today, we just come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts for the many blessings that you have so kindly poured out upon us. Father, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, your love. Father, we thank you that your tender mercies are fresh and new each morning. Father, we thank you for this great city in which you allowed us to live. Lord, we thank you for its citizens and their willingness to participate in the affairs of the government. Father, we just pray that you'll be with each one of us today as we debate issues which will affect our city. Father, may everything that's done in this meeting this evening be for the betterment of our city, be for the betterment of our citizens. But Father, most of all, may it bring honor and glory unto you. We ask these things in him whose name is above all names. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions necessary to our agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion and a second to accept the agenda as written?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we accept the agenda as written.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. First item is the minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the work session and the regular meeting of June 11th, 2007. Any discussion on the minutes? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. If there's no discussion, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under old business, first item is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the Lloydtown Road Annexation Agreement. Mr. Leduc, please.
Yes, sir. This is, I'll read the title only. It's an ordinance to amend ordinance number 1127-2006. In November of 2006, we passed an ordinance which, after looking at it, it certainly appears that the condition that we had asked the developer to meet was not able to be met. Basically, it's saying that you annex this entire property, but the city of Aiken has to annex their property first, but we can't annex our property first because we're not contiguous. So we are asking on second reading tonight that you would amend this ordinance so that it would allow both properties to be annexed at the same time. Condition number 13 of the ordinance would also be amended, which would state that instead of 180 days to meet these conditions, they would have till November 15th. Condition number 11 and 12, which were questioned by Councilwoman Price as to what was stated in there, were concerning the tires. That 180 days would not be affected, or the November 15th. They would have to get all those tires out of there prior to getting any building permit. So they could satisfy all the annexation, and then they would just not get any building permits till all the tires are removed. Condition number 12 would be able to go beyond that November 15th date because it would concern maintaining trees on the particular site, which council had asked us to have maintained. So before tonight, this is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend it, ordinance number 1127-2006, to change conditions 1 and 13, as we stated earlier.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading and public hearing, and if there's anyone in the audience who'd like to speak on this ordinance, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, the concern was that all the ties be removed before the building
permit
was issued. You've satisfied that, and with that, I move that we approve this on second reading public hearing to amend the Lloyd Town Road annexation agreement.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 2 is the second reading public hearing on ordinance to annex property south of Jim Lakes. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken, certain property owned by Regions Bank and located south of Jim Lake subdivision on Urine and Moultrie Drive, and to zone the same residential single-family RS-15. We discussed this property and had one condition that changed, and that's what council had asked, that the memo that was dated May 25th, 2007 by Garland Kistner would be added to this, except for item number 3 concerning no new road work being built in this development. That would leave the developer the option of tying Urine and Moultrie together. Within that, there were a number of things, and I'll just repeat them just so that council would have knowledge of it. But basically, all lots would be a minimum of 1/2 acre, new home sizes, minimum 2,000 square feet. There would be between 30 and 40 lots. There would be about 3.5 to 4 acres of green space where the existing wetlands and storm detention pond would be, and that the current this facility would go into the recreation association that is out in Jim Lakes. We have talked to Mr. Kistner, and we have developed a draft of what we believe the engineering development would be with the developer, and we would have that ready for you at the next meeting once we make sure we know the final language that you would have within this development. But one of the situations that we did talk to Mr. Kistner about and asked him at the last meeting was, would the open space at the very end of the road of Moultrie be deeded to the city or not? And the answer was yes, that would be given to the city. So we would be adjacent to the stormwater pond. You kind of look at it, the stormwater pond, instead of us just accepting the stormwater pond, but we'd accept the land around the stormwater pond also as part of a green space area for the city of Aiken. So for your condition tonight, this is second reading public hearing of an ordinance considering the rezoning of this property and annexation from 29.7 acres located south of Jim Lakes under the RS-15 zone.
Okay, Roger, one question. The May 25th letter from Garland Kistner, item 3, still says no new roads will be built.
That is correct. We did not change that memo.
Okay, but we are changing that. We're taking that out, right?
Right.
So that leaves that availability or flexibility.
That's correct. So your condition is this letter, except for item number 3.
Okay, very good. Okay, this is a second reading public hearing of this ordinance, and anyone would like to speak certainly may come up. Just give us your name and address, if you would, please, sir.
My name is Jonathan Lockwood. I live at 1265 Moultrie Drive. I want to thank council for the spirited discussion we had last time and what I think is a good plan moving forward. And I really have no objection, but just some additional clarification questions, possibly the city council or to Larry Morris. There was in the motion it talked about a road to an unincorporated area or undeveloped area. There is one piece of the property, and it's really a Jim Lakes package question, because there's a piece of the property at the very end which adjoins the old Jim Lake sewer system, and it was not clear whether the city was going to try to reclaim that as a buildable area or whether that was going to be used as a public works storage area or such. So it was really a clarification of that.
Okay.
And secondly, on the end of Huron, There is currently a dirt access road to some property that's not part of the discussion, but I was wondering if that is an easement or just a informal road cut through that somebody's using at this point in time. I want to be clear that the one of the lots, which is really the last circle on Huron, would not be blocked off if there was some kind of arrangement previously made. And so these are really the questions I have.
Okay. Well, stay up there with us, Don. And Larry, would you like to come up and answer what you can answer there?
I have met with Mr. Kisner and Mr. Gall on the project. And one thing that we are negotiating and working out, they are talking to another landowner there where there's a possibility that they may even be able to tie to Lakeside Drive, which would give them the loop, hence taking the new road construction out of number three. The other thing is the property which would abut the extension of Moultrie at the end is currently a county detention pond. When we took over that section of Jim Lakes and annexed it in, the county has not deeded that to us yet, and we'll be working with the county on getting that deeded to us. A portion of the old treatment facility is what's called a polishing pond. It was the last stage of the treatment before the water was pumped to the area that's currently under currently being looked at. That pond, we have been dealing with Regions Bank, the owner of it, and they have agreed that the city could take over that particular portion and use that pond as an emergency spillway, if you will, in case we have trouble with the pump station, that we could store some sewage in that pond until we can get the station running and not have it go into the 18-acre lake that is below that area. So that area would become the city of Aikens. It would not be a recreation area. It would be one that we would maintain as an overflow. The remainder of the area, I know the Recreation Association has been discussing with Regions Bank assuming that area. So part of the beauty of extending Moultrie over to Lakeside would be that there would then be a good access for that entire area, not only for the city, but for the Recreation Association as well. I'm not aware of the dirt road on that. I'd have to claim ignorance on that one.
You're talking off of Huron.
At the end of Huron, yes, I'm not aware of that. I know that there is an extra piece of property down there that's not under consideration with this, so possibly that landowner is using that. I just do not have information on that. It is not shown on the concept plan that we have reviewed with Mr. Kisner and Mr. Gall.
Larry, just to make sure I understand, and we're talking about right here?
Yes, sir.
That large lot looks like it's split?
Yes.
Two lots?
Correct. And the dirt road would lead to a lot over towards Silver Bluff. I'm
yes.
aware of it,
yeah.
but I'm not sure exactly why it's there.
Not that one.
Right here. That's not part of his development.
Right here?
Yeah. Here, over your exits.
So that's what we're talking about?
Right.
And like I say, that I'm aware of that road, but that property has access to Silver Bluff Road, so certainly it's not something that would be required by that property owner. Possibly Mr. Kisner could shed some light on that for us. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Who owns that? We don't.
I do not have that information.
So it's not part of the development?
No, sir.
Okay.
And I would stress that everything in the letter that you all are considering tonight, I have put in the draft developer's agreement that will come before you. I've met with Mr. Call and Mr. Kisner on that, but we have not finalized the language, so it's a little premature to get into that with council at this point in time.
Right. Okay. Okay. Does that help you? Does that answer the question? Or
yes, I was really trying, to get this on the record for this discussion, so
okay.
That we're all on the same page. And certainly, after this amendment is approved, hopefully, that there may be more tweaks and adjustments. But you know, it shows that even from the last council meeting to now, there has been additional progress made to try to make this plan work. And so I would concur. On the issue of the road, I believe that goes to a house that was moved. And, you know, there was a house that was moved and sitting in behind. So, you know, as long as it's not a property and that can be sealed off and be built on, and that's just clear. So, no other questions.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks, Larry. Anyone else would like to speak? If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we adopt this on second reading with the exception of number three, striking that and approving the eight items with the annexation memorandum that's been presented to us.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Before there's a second, I wanted to say something about this particular process. And at the last meeting, I raised the objection that we had gone into a new policy of all annexations or rezonings should come in as planned residential or planned commercial, depending on what they were. At that time, I was persuaded by staff, I guess, and others that my recollection of what the policy was incorrect. That is not so. I have a copy of the policy right here, and hereby adopts as its policy with respect to the rezoning or annexation of larger tracts of land that tracts of etc. acres shall be rezoned or annexed as planned residential, and that tracts of 5 acres or more that seek to be rezoned or annexed and used for commercial purposes shall be rezoned or annexed as planned commercial. Therefore, what I think we brought before us, and I think the plan is a good one, but I really kind of have a problem with the fact that we create a new policy and almost immediately choose to ignore it because of special circumstances. I don't understand it, and I'd really like to discuss that before we move forward with any motions.
Let's have a second to it to make sure we won't even carry it forward. Okay, Beverly. Okay. So we've got a motion and a second. Now we can have discussion.
Okay. I reiterate my remarks.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
I understand what Councilman Smith is saying about our new policy, but I thought in our discussion last time that we had leaned toward keeping this similar to what the rest of the neighborhood was like, and that was the reason we were going to deviate from the policy that we set up. And I just thought that we had made a pretty good case for that we would keep it as RS-15 and annex it as RS-15. And that's one of the reasons why I thought we were going to move forward with this tonight. Not so much in that it's because the policy was not clear, but even with the policy being what it is, it makes a little bit of sense. It makes a lot of sense to me to keep the neighborhood similar to what the rest of the neighborhood looks like.
I hear you, and I appreciate the kindness of your comment here. But in fact, if we did it under planned residential, we could have that concept plan that is exactly like Jeb Lake submitted to us, and we would have the right to approve it, and we would have all the other requirements involved. What we are doing instead is, again, kind of being very accommodating to good people, but not really following what we said was our policy.
Dick, we said at that time, and you'd have to go back and look at the minutes, we talked for an hour or so, and we said that this is so different than than annexing some lot that's not next to a lot, an area like Jim Lake. The developer wants to make those houses as much like what's already there, so there is not much different. Now, my understanding is if we went to plan residential, obviously there would be a concept plan, but you don't have the same boundaries, you don't have the same, necessarily the same square footage in each lot, and we could end up with a number of houses closer together, and it would not be the same. Now, this is an interesting thing, too, because Mr. Kistner didn't have to do this. He came to us with this list of things that he was willing to do, and we just talked about that. Roger's gone over that list. And so I think it's unlike just a plain lot sitting, development sitting out there on, and nothing's around it, and we're annexing it in. And we talked about that, too, last meeting. Now, anything new we do, the fact that it's new, sometimes you're going to see things you need to change in it. Sometimes you don't know until you come up with it. I think that a council has got to have some flexibility to see something like this, in my opinion, and in the opinion of the majority of council last meeting, that doesn't really necessarily fit the mode of a planned residential if you want to try to make it as much like Jim Lake's homes are that are going to border that. So, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you for the most part, but I think there is some times when you have to look at your new policy and perhaps make a change based on what you're looking at, and especially since the developer has offered up these things that are most important to us anyway, that he's going to do.
Mr. Mayor, I appreciate what you're saying also, but as I mentioned to Beverly, that concept plan could look virtually like this concept plan. That's what we would approve. It doesn't have to be anything much different. Now, it may have a little more requirement for green space. It may have to fiddle with it a little bit, but they have to do the preparations in advance, and when we get that, then, by golly, we have a concept plan that is locked in. Should Mr. Kistner, for any reason, decide that he's going to sell that property to someone else, rather like a recent transaction that we had, if he should decide that, the concept plan still prevails, and it has to be done exactly the same way. We're giving up a little bit of control, and that's really part of my problem here. Because I agree, they're nice big lots, it's going to look like Jim Lake's, but it's still a deviation from what we said was our policy.
Any other discussion?
I hate to see us give up planned residential so easily. I respect Mr. Kistner's ideas here and Mr. Gall's, but I thought we were trying to be sure we saved green space. I thought we were trying to be sure that happened, no matter whether property turned over or not. I thought that the green space, it's 2 acres out of 30, seems to be the sticking point, because I think it's four, the pond and that other land take up, right? It just seems to me that that's not that much land. I think we're essentially saying there'll be more lots because we won't require any green space, and that's true in any planned residential that we do, the one on Lloydtown Road. I mean, everybody that is zoned planned residential is going to be giving up some lots, that's the truth, in order to have some green space. There are a lot of trees on that land. With this, we have no, I know that Mr. Kissinger wouldn't be foolish enough to take down all the trees, but we don't have anything to stop anybody with if they do with this. Whereas with planned residential, we could have some stipulations along those lines. And I don't have a problem with any of these plans. It looks nice. I drove around there today. There are a lot of nice trees on that property. There are a lot of nice trees on the property, and Gem Lakes adjoins it. Mm-hmm. And I just think that we have to look past the individual builder that's doing a project and try to create a zone that we have created and enact it so that in the future, so that everything's protected. And I think we've been burned badly a couple of times. And I just don't want that to happen again. I want us to make a commitment to green space and say that we know it's going to, yes, it will take up some land. We know that. And I think it's fairly nice that we're using the pond and the other sort of unbuildable property part of that green space, which is a good thing. I mean, it is, and it could be beautiful. I mean, I can't imagine. I would think if there were two more acres of green space around there, the adjacent lots would appreciate enough in value to almost make up the difference myself, because that would be such an asset. But and so I just can't watch us give up planned residential right away. I think it's a reasonable request, and I don't know how we're going to tell the next person that they have to meet these requirements, you know. So I can't support it.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, I don't see this as giving up planned residential. I see this as a continuation of the Gentle Lake subdivision. I see it as something totally different than a standalone project. We have two of the builders with probably the best reputations in our city that's coming to us with this. Number one is they walked in and asked for RS-15, which is the current zoning in Gem Lakes. You know, and I know, short time that I've been on council, I've seen builders and developers come in and ask for RS-6 and RS-8, adjoining RS-10 and RS-15 properties. This is not what we have. I see this as a hybrid. It's between a planned residential and an RS-15 zone. This is something that's new for us, but I think that this could be something that we're going to see more of in the future. But just as we are doing with Mr. Kissinger, with any other developer, we can put those conditions that he must meet. Now, as far as green space is concerned, I would rather see the green space in the people's yards than see it at the end of the property. When you're talking about an RS-15 lot, at least a half acre per home, I would much rather see that and have that to where the family could utilize that space than to have it set aside somewhere and make the lot smaller. That just doesn't make good sense to me. It would not then be in keeping with the houses of Gem Lakes, which is what my concern is with this as it is. With the plan that Mr. Kissinger has given to us, with the map, as we all know, there could be some minor changes in there. Mr. Jonathan had asked that they connect the road to Huron. Mr. Kissinger has agreed to try to do that, and he's, I think, possibly worked out a way that that can be done. You know, so the requests that have been made by Gem Lakes residents are being met here. For us to try to take this, which is an extension of Gem Lakes, which is a round peg, and try to get it to fit in a square hole, I think we'd have to wrestle with it in order to get it to do that. This is a totally different project. It's not a standalone development. They are going to take part in the recreational area. I think that'll even deepen the relationship between these residents and the current Gem Lake residents, and I think we should move forward with it.
Don, I would like to correct one thing you said. I think you said very well what you did, but RS-15 is 15,000 square feet, and that's roughly one-third of an acre. Now, he's got plans for larger lots than that, we accept, but if it goes on into the future, things happen to change very often with developments. We can't be sure that with the concept plan, we can really get it locked in a better way. And we also establish the policy that we already set, that said we were going to do it by plan residential.
And I think that this is an exception to that, Dick. And I think you do have that in any given situation. And I think that that's why we're sitting on council.
What did you talk about the study that we're going to get that will be ready by the next meeting? There was some discussion.
There'd be a developer's agreement that talks about the water, the sewer, the roads. We'll not talk about the zoning that you would have as part of the annexation.
Or lot size or anything like that? Okay. But I am right that we have no protection for the trees with this zoning at all.
That's correct.
Could we put something in here to protect the trees?
We are going to get to this on the next item, but council really under these types of agreements, if you start trying to tie something to the trees or other elements, it's very difficult to follow this years from now. In other words, let's say that 3/4 of the development gets built out and 10 years go by and there's still some lots left, we'll probably have a completely different staff to try to follow it. So to try to put those types of conditions just do not work well.
One thing, Don, you said half acre.
Yes.
And that is a half acre in the agreement that the developer has agreed.
But RS-15 is not a half acre.
Right, that's not. But the lot size, it has been agreed on that if this passes, that it'd be at least a half acre per lot.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Let me just say that I understand what Jane is saying and what Dick is saying, and Jane's concern, because I share that concern with her, with lots and lots being raped of trees and the things that give them charm. But I looked at this with my motion as an extension, and hearing from some of the folks out at Jim Lakes who support the RS-15, I don't know the developers. I didn't make the motion because of the developers. I don't know either one of them, but largely because of the citizens that live out there and what the citizens desire out there, and the fact that this continues the RS-15 process for that neighborhood. And as Don has said, I'd rather see the green space on the property. I love open space on property rather than houses so close to one another. That's my personal preference. And I think it adds unbelievable charm if you do it right with the trees and then the large lots as well. So that's my reason for the motion.
Okay. Any other comments?
I would really like to ask our attorney, these are going to be enforceable, and should the property be sold to someone else, they're still enforceable, they're tied to the land?
The development agreement, once it is approved by council, that'll have these conditions in the agreement that Mr. Marsh is preparing, that agreement will be filed at the RMC office. If the property were to be transferred, the next purchaser of the property would have notice of those requirements in that development agreement.
And would be required to comply
with that. When he comes to Ed Evans with his request for, if property was not built on, he comes to Mr. Evans with his request for a building permit. If it didn't comply with the development agreement,
Ed would have
the right to turn him down. Correct.
One of the things I want to mention, Mr. Mayor, before we vote on this is that with planned residential, the builder would be required to set aside so much of the property for green space. And generally that's in a couple of areas. You know, this is green space and that's green space. And what stops them from clearing the lots that are left? of the trees that are there? What stops them in planned residential from clearing lots once they're there?
As part of your concept plan, you can require certain trees be saved and that sort of thing. You can require
right.
that a tree survey be done.
Right. We can require
sort of
certain
thing.
Trees be saved.
Right.
But they can cut all the others. I mean, not just what they need, but they could still go in and
right.
pretty much clear some of the lands, if even except for the ones that we stipulate they can't take down. And so I understand the need to do planned residential, clearly. But even that doesn't stop some of the trees from going.
Well,
yeah.
In every development situation, some trees mm-hmm. will bite the dust. There's no question about that. But we do have more control in planned residential than mm-hmm. we would otherwise.
I just feel like when we met last time, we pretty much said to the many residents that were here that we were going to go with the RS-15, and I feel obligated to continue that tonight.
Beverly, to go to something even better, I doubt would offend any Gem Lakes resident.
Probably not.
Okay, any other comments? We have a motion and a second. All in favor, show of hands, please. Opposed? Okay, passes 5-2. Item 3, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to rezone property off of Spencer Drive behind Target Shopping Center. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by title only. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the City of Aiken certain property owned by Reed. I'm sorry. One behind. This ordinance amending the zoning of real estate owned by TCA LLC from General Business GB and Limited Professional LP to residential multifamily high density RMH. The developer of this property, Mr. Belanger, who is here tonight, would like the City Council to look at the 4.1 acres. It's divided on either side of the road. It's currently zoned for general business and limited professional, and he would like to see this rezoned so that he could put up an apartment complex. Last meeting, you saw some pictures of what that apartment complex would look like. He has also indicated that he would be willing to put a maximum number of units in there. In reviewing this week and talking to staff a little bit more, the one thing that we talked about briefly at the last meeting, but I just wanted to let it be known again, that general business, which is the primary area that's being looked at, or the 3.76 acres of the 4.1, is zoned general business, and you can have apartments in a general business. You just have to go to BZA. If they went to BZA, BZA could also decide what elements that apartment complex would look like. So again, it gives there a certain measure of control by doing it that way. Now, LP, no matter what, cannot have apartments or residential in an LP zone. So if they went with that direction, they'd only be able to rezone or get permission in that general business area for apartments for the 3.76 acres. The other item that council asked the last meeting was, when did this get rezoned? And when was the comprehensive plan showing single-family low density? We look back in the 1990s and before, and it's been single-family low density since the 80s, or as far back as we could find out. In 1990s, it was rezoned as a PUD. Now, that's before we had planned residential. And in a PUD, you could have a certain percentage of it being general business, and I believe at that time was 5% of a PUD could be general business. Is that correct, Ed? So council did just a short time ago, back in 2004, stated that they were going to allow this to be multifamily. He had a certain time frame to get this rezoned and recorded. That was not met, and therefore that time has expired, and that's why we're even here today. So there's a lot of different elements that are involved with this. Gary Smith at Evans and I met concerning some of the conditions that I know council would like to put on this, and talked about the legalities of whether or not this is a good practice or not. And I'd like to, if you don't mind, have Mr. Smith address the number of units.
Thank you, sir. One of the conditions that council voted to put on this rezoning at first reading was the condition in Section 1, subparagraph C, that said that no more than 56 apartments be developed on this property, and that that was to be shown on the development plan. And in talking with this, I was reminded by Ed, as Roger mentioned, at the last, for the last ordinance, one of the concerns we have is how that would be enforced. The rezoning would take place, and it could take place prior to the property being developed. And then 2 years down the road, the property ends up getting developed. Somebody at the staff level was either not here when this ordinance was passed or simply forgot, and then they remember that there was this 56 unit requirement. Well, they go and pull the zoning ordinance. The zoning ordinance tells us that based on this size property and with the setback requirements and that sort of thing, that you could, I'm not sure what the number was, I think it was 64, Roger?
64.
That you could build 64 units, and so the staff could unknowingly and in error issue a building permit allowing the developer to build 64 units. That's one of the reasons why limiting it to 56 units is not a good idea. Another reason why it's not a good idea is if another property owner were to come to the planning department with property that's zoned appropriately for apartments, had the same amount of acreage, the same basic land structure and all that sort of thing, and he gets his 64 units and this developer only got 56, this developer could have an equal protection argument against the city that basically took him out of whatever the profits would have been on those eight additional units, which, you know, over a period of time could be a substantial number. And so with those considerations in mind, we all believed it would be more appropriate to take out condition number C if council was inclined to approve this ordinance this evening. Are there any questions about that?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
I do have a question, though, and I know we had to have planned residential, but if we were able to do this as planned residential,
yes,
and we could make whatever requirement we wanted, and it could hold.
That's correct.
Under the circumstances, we always try to be reasonable,
right,
up here.
Right. Well, you've heard me talk before about the gold brick road. If you want to have a gold brick road going through the planned residential development, you could do that.
Have it asked for it, yeah.
The other thing, just we talked a little bit about buffers. We spent a lot of time talking about buffers. Mm-hmm. There's a requirement that a 10-foot buffer be placed between residential. So this, let's say this apartment complex and single family residential, there's a requirement of 10-foot buffer. There is no requirement of a buffer between the back of Targets and this apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you approve this to rezone this for multifamily, there is no requirement that a buffer be placed between the back of Targets and the apartment complex. And Mr. Smith, I don't think, would say that we should even, you know, if you said, well, we want 10-foot buffer, we really can't. It's the same principle as the 56 units.
Correct.
But if it is left zone general business,
they go to BZA and ask for a special exception, and BZA could say, as part of that special exception, these are the things you have to comply with.
We want a buffer.
That's correct.
They could not say a variance does not involve a number of units, though, does it?
I don't want to tell you an answer. I'm not sure the answer I'm not sure the answer to your question, to be honest with you. I don't know. Richard normally handles the BZA requests. Whether it would be appropriate to limit the number of units or not, you do have some more leeway there because you are actually authorizing them to do something that is an exception to the zoning ordinance. By getting that variance, and so you may have a little more leeway in that regard. I would have to defer to Richard on that question.
And we talked about this, and I can't give you a legal answer, but I'll give you what I understood from the conversation. BZA can exercise some design control over the apartment buildings.
What does that mean, though?
Let's say they felt it should be brick or hardy plank. Or all red roofs, or they could exercise design control over the apartments. In other words, if we're going to grant you this special exception, the apartments would have to be done this way.
And need to have a buffer.
And it based on our conversation, I believe that could be stated by BZA.
And the reason for that is you're authorizing them an exception to the zoning ordinance or a variance from the zoning ordinance, and in order to do that, certain conditions can be imposed at that time that would otherwise protect the surrounding properties and that sort of thing.
Well, when you rezone it, you cannot.
Are we ready for a motion?
No, I wanted to say that if you go out and look at this property, the way that property slopes from the back of Target onto the road around it, I had a really hard time imagining them putting anything in there because the slope is just so deep. And if you stand on the dock where the loading dock is and look back toward the property, you pretty much can see that maybe the slope of the land would be a buffer because I don't really see how you can.
It comes way down.
It comes way down. I don't know how you can.
You're
really
looking
do that.
Over the apartments, actually.
Yes, you could see that. You would be able to see the roofs of the apartments from that area. So I don't.
The other houses have a nice row of trees that have developed, the other ones. Maybe Mr. Belanger can answer
this.
We started talking, and we've done a lot of talking here. It's just second reading and public hearing, so if anyone wants to speak on this subject, you certainly may do so. Yes. We were going to get to it anyway.
Woody Belanger, 220 Boy Scout Road, Augusta. I appreciate the concern about the buffer. I mean, it is a concern for me as the apartment owner. The thing is, Ms. Clyburn, you went out there. Target has a nice buffer. There's a nice evergreen buffer at the top of that hill. The whole slope is covered with cherry trees. That's part of their property. And granted, I can't control what they do with that thing, but it clearly was something that was obligated for them to put that buffer in. It's a nice buffer. It's as nice as one as I could put in.
See, I thought that belonged to you. I thought as soon as Target's asphalt ended, you were going to start.
No. The top of the hill belongs to Target, and they put that in. And I asked the manager whether, if you required it, whether I could beef it up, because it really has to be handled on the uphill side to be effective. And the manager wasn't in a position since it's located outside. I can also say this about the loading dock, because I know that was a concern. I met with the manager out there on site. They do all their loading. The earliest delivery time they have is 8 a.m. And all the unloading of the trucks is inside the building. The truck backs up actually into the dock, and all the people, you can't even see it. It's like completely contained.
That's what he told me.
That's right. And there's one delivery that comes in before 8. That's a food delivery. It comes in a Thursday morning at 6 a.m. That's it. And again, it's unloaded inside.
So there's going to be, how much do you think they have? 20 feet or something?
Oh, at least, yeah.
And then what are you going to do to shore that up beneath it? I mean, you're going to have something to.
Well, no. Yeah. If you look at the property, there's
that. I was out there today.
The slope that comes down. I mean, it was some kind of fill, I guess, when it came in. I don't know the thing when Target built the thing up. but it was built on fill. Yeah. And it comes down, and then it hits the natural grade.
Yeah.
I'm going to be working on the natural grade down there at the base of that hill.
I did not understand that. I thought you were going to be leveling that out. And
yeah, I'm going to have to level it out the other way, because it's still a pretty good slope going back this way.
I thought you meant...
And it's a narrow property, so in order to get it to work, I have to do that. But my point is, there's an existing buffer there. It's more than adequate. And
so you're not going to scoop it out to a target then?
No, ma'am.
See, that's what I thought you
meant.
No, ma'am.
So, I think it's a non-issue. Target on the whole is a plus for me as an apartment. Having it right there is a plus, that people can walk to Target and everything else. In fact, when I was talking to the manager, he was saying, yeah, this guy's going to put apartments behind us. And they said, oh, I hope he does, because we couldn't get in. Only apartments here couldn't get in. They're full, which are mine. and they are full, and they stay full. So there's a demonstrated need for apartments in this area. The other concern was about the comprehensive plan. I know when this thing was voted before, that question came up before, and Ms. LeDoux, to quote, this is from November 8, 2004, Ms. LeDoux pointed out that this would actually be changing one residential high-density area to another area. Remember, I forfeited under my PUD agreement some multifamily that backed up to Woodside. That was all part of this thing, so I've done my part on this thing, you know. I'm caught in a technicality now, but again, the high density residential, all we did was moved it up the hill. Nothing's really changed. And it says this would not be changing the comprehensive plan overall, just moving it from one area to another. And the Councilman Cunning pointed out that usually apartments would be near the commercial. This is a usual place to put it as a buffer between this sort of big box commercial and the residential that's below it. And of course, it's not. Doesn't meet the comprehensive plan, so it's in some sense it's a little bit out the window. And there's justification for the zoning, just the fact that there's a need for apartments in this area. I don't need to remind you that this was approved unanimously a little over 2 years ago. Everybody was here. I think there's one change since then. The only difference, here are the changes since then. One is that I've actually followed through on the promise of altering my PUD to get rid of the multifamily. That's one change. That just ought to be in my favor. The other is I've added a tree save area to this property that wasn't on there before as a buffer between the other part. Because the one place on this property that has any oaks or significant trees that I wanted to save is a tree save area. I've reduced the effective density even before I walked in here, and then I don't know whether it's going to be reduced down to 56 again, but again, it's a lot. And apartment demand has only increased in the interim. So if you could consider that. And the last thing, I know you have to act in the best interest of the city. I appreciate that. But part of that best interest is your efforts to maintain Aiken as a city of character, which I know is a big part of the city, which includes the values of fair play and integrity. I caught on a technicality, but in the sense of justice, I gave up the multifamily. I only asked for it to be moved up the hill. Nothing's changed for my plans at all. I would ask you, I would say it's in the best interest of Aiken anyway for this thing, given the desperate need. If they're not going to be living here, they're going to be living somewhere off-site, driving their car all the way on Whiskey Road to get in here.
Is this pretty much what they're going to look
That's
like?
That's pretty accurate. The only thing is the artist left off the shutters that I'd put on the window.
But there'll be porches?
Yes, ma'am. That's what I changed. The one thing I didn't like about my old apartment thing was we had wooden stairs going up the front. That's the only thing I didn't like about them. And I wanted to get rid of that, so we made these with a central breezeway. And it's all wrapped in white, and everything's very, very nice looking, I think. Are there any questions?
And that there'll only be two stories.
Yes, ma'am, two stories.
And there'll be four units.
Four units on a side, so they're eight unit buildings. That's right.
We know this, but since you mentioned a technicality, tell everybody what the technicality was in case some don't know.
Yeah, and I noticed the city's done a lot better job of informing you that you've got a deadline. I didn't know, but It has to do with vested rights. You've got 2 years when you submit a plan. You've got a two-year right to that land. So I did this a little early, mainly because I needed to know what to do at the bottom of the hill. I'm developing right now the bottom of the hill. So I needed to have that question resolved. That's why I submitted this plan so early. Well, in the interim, 2 years passed. And I knew it was a condition of approving my development plan. I've already spent about $30,000 in engineering on this apartment complex. It was one of the notes on there. Oh, yeah, you have to get the... I knew that. And it had gone back to the surveyor, and we were clicking off the list, and then all of a sudden, guess what? You've lost your vested right. Again.
You mentioned the tree save area. How big an area is that?
I want to say about a third of an acre or something. I've got a drawing.
That's okay.
But that's the area. The strip, and there's that tree save area.
And that's the area with the best trees.
Those are the best trees. I've had this whole thing surveyed. There's not an oak on it. It's all cherry trees.
Now, is that with 56 units, that drawn?
Actually, this is the 64. Yes, ma'am. And then I've added it. And that's the main reason I came here instead of BZA, is to add this, because apparently I couldn't do it without... Right. I couldn't incorporate it in this property without it being the same zoning. So it seems like it would be a good thing to keep. But.
So there is not going to be another apartment unit across the road of any kind?
Oh, no, ma'am. That's under a power line easement. I can't even use it. They just... When I came in last time, I said, what about this land? Because it was left over. It's zone GB, and it's just hanging out there. When we rezoned it 2 years ago, they said, well, we need to change that, too. We don't want this little dangling...
So you won't have
piece of GB, yeah, which I understand. It really, the property means nothing to me. I'll give it to you if you want.
Big grace.
Yeah, I think another consideration as we think about this thing is what else would go there if we left it GB?
Yes, sir.
Storage units?
I think that's the only use I could think of in that.
You're not going to have a business back there.
If it's on the same level of Target, maybe, but...
Yeah, it's not.
It's not.
I understand about the comprehensive plan, I think I understand everything about it. I think you've done your part.
Thank you.
You've moved these from where they could have been over closer to Woodside to this part, which
yes, sir.
Is not going to bother anybody behind Target, I wouldn't think.
Which I didn't even speak at the last meeting because it seems the meeting 2 years ago because it was such a slam dunk. It was so obvious that, yeah, well, of course the multifamily should be moved from Woodside to the top of the hill behind Target. Right. So, no-brainer at the time. I hope it still is. Yeah.
Okay, there may be someone else that wants to speak as well. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this subject? You may do that. Okay, I guess there isn't. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay.
I think when when we met last time and we discussed the 56 versus the 64 units, it seemed that there was an issue with the with having some space between this development and Target. After having looked at the land, I don't know how he's even going to get 56 in there, but. I'm not a developer. I don't know. But
from the Target side, you can't even see down.
You cannot even see down there.
So dense and what have you. You wouldn't even know, I don't think, if you were back there. You wouldn't know what was down there.
No.
It is so steep that I just was not comfortable pulling my car too close to the end of the property.
Right.
I mean, it looked like you were going to roll on in there. But it's...
Okay, do we have a motion in a second? Then we can talk some more.
Mr. Mayor, I approve. I make a motion that we approve this on second reading, removing condition number C as far as the number of units.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, okay. Okay. I support this as well. Is there any other discussion?
Well, it really comes down to a question. Do we turn it down and send it to the BZA? And then does the BZA have to do it all, or do we go ahead and do it ourselves? And sometimes it's better to keep it in your own hands.
And I would think, and maybe this is a better thought, that the reason we're not abiding by the comprehensive plan in this case is logically what really could go in that spot. I mean, of value. Certainly, you could have some storage container racks back there, or maybe some lumber storage, or it would have to be kind of something like that, I think, rather than it wouldn't be a business for any means, by any means. So, you know, for that reason and other reasons, I support it. But no other comments? Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay. All right, passes unanimously. Thank you, sir. Item 4, second reading, public hearing of an ordinance to amend the historic district.
Yes, sir. We'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance designating a portion of 248 Marion Street and all of 251 Williamsburg Street southeast to the Aiken Historic Register. When our historic register was developed, for whatever reason, in 1990, part of this property, which is on the rear portion, was not included in the historic register. The owners would like to go ahead and have their entire property inside the historic district, so it could be designated to the Aiken Historic Register. Council reviewed this at the first meeting in June, on June 11th. This is the second reading and public hearing for approval of the addition of property located on the rear portion of 251 Williamsburg Street and 248 Marion Street Southwest as part of the historic district and designation to the Aiken Historic Register.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is a second reading public hearing. If anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this on second reading. I think it makes a lot of sense.
I'll second, Mr. Sager.
Okay. Any discussion?
I just want to thank them for that property. I drove by it today. It's so beautiful.
It is so beautiful.
They have really done a gorgeous job of bringing that back. It's probably never looked that good before, actually. But it looks beautiful right now. And
really
I think
does.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Good thing. Okay. Show of hands, all in favor? Approval? Passes unanimously. Item 5, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to establish post-retirement welfare benefit trust agreement and plan. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance approving a Section 115 governmental trust agreement and a post-retirement welfare benefit plan in compliance with the Government Accounting Standard Board. Council has discussed concerning the GASB 45 requirements that we set up a post-retirement medical benefit plan to take care of possible obligations as more and more individuals may retire from the city of Aiken. We had $300,000 in the current year budget, and we have another $300,000 next year's budget. This plan would be set up very similar to our pension plan and be handled by the same firm that is doing our pension plan. But the pension attorney, Warner Anthony, who we used for years, has set up this plan, and we're recommending its approval. You discussed this at the first meeting in June, and this is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to set up a post-retirement welfare benefit trust agreement and plan, which is solely dedicated to paying retiree medical and other post-employment benefits.
This is the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance. Does anyone would like to speak on this issue? If not, back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we adopt this ordinance to establish this retirement welfare benefit trust agreement plan.
Okay. I second it. And, Roger, you probably said it. I may have missed it, but this is a government mandated plan.
It's a federal mandated plan.
Right. A federal mandated plan. And it's good because it protects that money and makes sure it's there. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor.
Okay. Dick is a yes.
Okay.
Is this a retirement plan?
On the GASB? Okay. Passes unanimously. Item 6, second reading public hearing of ordinance to amend the employee retirement plan. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. It's this is an ordinance approving an amendment to the City of Aiken Retirement Plan in compliance with the Government Accounting Standard Board. Again, when he was going and developing this plan, he reviewed our existing plan and some of the changes that IRS over the last couple of years has made some requirements so that he amended this plan in a couple of different areas to meet all the new federal standards. And so these are the changes that are proposed to you tonight. This is the second reading of public hearing of ordinance to amend the City of Aiken Employee Retirement Plan to meet new federal standards.
Okay. Yep. Second reading and public hearing. If anyone would like to speak on this ordinance, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. New business. First reading of an ordinance to annex property at 1449 Moultrie Drive and 119 Savannah Drive. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the City of Aiken. Certain property consists of two lots of land located in Gem Lake subdivision and to zone the same residential single family RS-15. These two property owners were not part of the original annexation. One is a new property owner, another one is an existing who was not living in Aiken at the time we had the annexation. Both of them would like to receive the services that we provide and are on the existing sewer already. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 119 Savannah and 1449 Moultrie Drive under the RS-15 zoning.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Only a question. Any of these folks here tonight?
Yes.
Yeah? You say yeah?
No.
Where?
No, they're not here. Not here.
I'm sorry. I must be... Is somebody here that is a part of this? These two properties?
No.
Oh, I thought you said that.
No, I said...
Oh, I'm
sorry.
Excuse me. Okay. Okay. All in favor, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. I heard you saying something.
I said yes without...
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I thought you said yes. Okay.
He's very agreeable.
Thank you for saying that anyway, even if you did. First reading of an ordinance to transfer a lot to Aiken Corporation in Tool Hill. Mr. Duke.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance approving the conveyance to Aiken Corporation of a city-owned property consisting of a lot located in Tool Hill. The City of Aiken has already transferred 10 lots. We have an obligation with Aiken Corporation for 12 lots so they could continue to build homes. All of the homes are either under construction or have been sold by Aiken Corporation. This will allow us to transfer the lot at 365 McCormick Street so that they could construct another home in the Tool Hill area. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading ordinance approving the conveyance to the Aiken Corporation of city-owned property consisting of a lot in Tool Hill for the purpose of constructing a new home.
Okay, thank you, sir.
May I ask you how many lots have we given to the Aiken Corporation already or transferred to them?
10, I believe.
Is it the whole? Yeah, it does. Have any of those been sold? Have the funds been returned?
I believe that, I know that 10 have been built, and there might be one or two still for sale, and all the money that we then receive rolled back into us.
Okay, so they've actually sold?
Yes.
8 or so of the
yes.
original 10?
To answer your question, to be more exact, this is in count 111, and it says that so far to date we have received from sale of homes $631,260 in this fiscal year. So probably around 6 to 7 homes have been sold this fiscal year.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt this transfer.
All right.
Second.
We have a second, okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 3, resolution accepting portion of Two Notch Road from Audubon to the dirt portion. Mr. Verduca.
Yes, sir. On April 23rd, City Council approved a resolution accepting from the State Highway Department the roadway from south boundary to the dirt portion where Grace comes in along Marlboro Street. The Highway Department went out there and looked at it before giving us this roadway, and they're suggesting that we would also accept Two Notch Road from Audubon north to where the dirt portion starts. We looked at this. It does make some good sense. This would allow us not only to have some control over the speed and to use traffic calming measures on the Marlboro Street or the northern end of Two Notch Road, but also the southern end, so that we're protected from both sides. We would propose that not only would we put the speed humps on the Marlboro section, but we'd also put some speed humps on the Two Notch section between Audubon and the Dirt Street. The only negative in accepting roads from the Highway Department is the fact that at some point in time, they will need to be repaved, and instead of us being able to use the C fund money, we would have to use city money. In that end, though, we are spending right now about $250,000 a year in repaving a number of other city streets. We're doing a good job in keeping up our streets. The State Highway Department has fallen somewhat behind in maintaining some of the roads and keeping up the paving. Looking at the advantages and disadvantages, we certainly feel that the city of Aiken should give strong consideration to accepting this portion so that we could put in the correct traffic calming measures on both ends of Two Notch Road to protect the horses and the activities within that area. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of a resolution asking the State Highway Department to authorize the city to accept responsibility for the maintenance of a portion of Two Notch Road from Audubon to the dirt portion. They have already given us permission to accept the Marlboro side of it.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve this resolution.
Okay.
I second it.
Okay. Any comments? Discussion?
Mr. Mayor, one comment that I have, which I'm definitely in favor of us trying to get control of that traffic on the dirt portion. But one thing that does concern me is on the paved portion of Two Notch. I just wonder, as far as installing speed humps prior to that dirt section, I'd like for us to give consideration to the residents of that area as to whether or not they would like that in their section there. I mean, some of them have to travel that, getting in and out to their home areas. They may be in favor of it, but that's just one consideration I'd like to give. Instead of us as a city just saying, yes, let's go ahead and install speed humps on the paved portion, I'd like to see what the residents have to say.
I think that's a good idea. Why not? I suspect they would want them.
They could. They could very well.
Just to slow the traffic down on the paved section.
Absolutely. And we have them in our neighborhood, and it's yeah. for a good reason, but yeah. you know, we also have some who oppose it.
Right. Okay. Okay, any other comments? Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, pass this unanimously.
What I will do is, now that council has accepted that section of roadway, we will contact all the homeowners, and if we do see some major objection, then we'll certainly not put the humps in and look for some other means to try to slow down the traffic. I would suspect, and I'm not even too sure if any of the signatures we had when we looked at the other end, the north end, if there was any signatures from that other side or not. Not all of the individuals in there are own horses. A number of them do, but not all of them. So we will certainly check with them before we do any actual work out there.
Thank you.
What are the kind of speed bumps that we're using now mostly, Roger?
Typically, what we try to do is we have a artificial hump, which is made out of rubber, that we'll put on the roadway to see what is the correct location to place it.
Oh.
Once we feel we have the correct location, then we go ahead and we actually put an asphalt hump in there, similar to what you have on Highland Park, similar to what you have on Oriole. And so we do know we want to put some on Marlboro Street. There's probably going to be at least one, maybe two. What we'll do is work with public safety on the correct location, get the correct signage, and then we'll, in the meantime, we'll go ahead and start talking to these residents on the two-notch portion. In either case, we could slow down the traffic, though, the speed limit from the current, I believe it's 25 miles an hour to 15 miles an hour on both sections immediately. So.
And you're only talking about, what, two, maybe three?
On the Marlboro section, we're talking about one to two, and on this section, we're talking probably just one. You know, just as you, and where it probably would not affect the residents that much, it would, I believe, would be north of all the residential property. It's really in more the area where the paddocks are at, so it probably would not even affect them. But it, we'll have to talk to them, and I'll talk to Larry DePete on that also.
Okay, item four, resolution accepting utilities in the roadway of Miracle Drive from the University Parkway to Medical Park Drive.
Roger. Most of you are familiar where Miracle Drive is at. It's where the cancer center is at. That was okay to have one building located on Miracle Drive without having it deeded to the city, but they're ready to start a second building out there, and that's the Advocacy Center. And before we can go ahead and permit that, we would need to have the acceptance of the deed of the dedication. 1 year has passed. Actually, it's been over a year. They are willing to go ahead and give us the utilities, the roadway. Larry Morris and his staff has really looked at that and determined that it's met all the obligations and meets our standards. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of resolution authorizing the acceptance of a deed of dedication for Miracle Drive and the associated utilities from University Parkway to Medical Park Drive.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, I'll second. Oh, Don, second. Okay.
I have a question.
Okay.
On this first page, I thought, have they buried those utilities out there?
The utility lines, the power lines that went in there?
Yeah, I meant to drive out there today.
No, those were put in overhead. That is the area that has raised some questions that we now have with the Planning Commission. They're reviewing, do we want to change the policy, how would that would affect us. We're getting information, I believe, from North Augusta as their utility policy. But that is one where they put in the primary line above ground.
I thought we already had that policy.
And we felt it should go in underground. And at least in my opinion, there's a technicality in the franchise agreement that said only if it's financially feasible or some formula for as far as the cost of it. My feeling has always been that it didn't matter what the cost was. They were supposed to put those kind of lines in underground. That is why it's back to the Planning Commission to look at what language changes do we have to make concerning those types of lines for new utilities.
So they're not going to need to bury theirs?
They're not going to be burying them, no.
What about the rest of that street? They're all going to be above ground then on Miracle Drive?
Well, the current line's above ground. When it goes to the building itself, it goes underground.
Right.
So we talked about the major transmission lines.
The major transmission lines above ground, but the service lines will be underground. And I believe to the Cancer Center, Ed, do you recall if that service line was underground or not?
The Cancer Center?
Yeah.
Service line, it should be underground.
But we had a statement that they should all have been buried, right?
That's my opinion.
They're not.
But obviously it's not in this case. So we're not accepting the SE&G lines anyways. All we're accepting is the water, the sewer, the storm drainage, and the road.
Oh, okay. So utilities don't include that?
Not the power line.
Now, the heart facility, is those are underground as well, I assume? Of course, it came later than the cancer facility.
I would assume so.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I think the cancer.
All right, let's make it clear what is supposed to be underground and what isn't.
Well, that's why it's before the Planning Commission, because it is unclear. According to our franchise agreement, we felt that any new subdivision, that the utility lines would all be underground. They didn't consider this a subdivision. There is also in their talks about a formula for when financially feasible, Ed, something in that language. Okay.
For whom? For SCANA?
For SCANA, or SCENG. The Planning Commission's looked at it for at least 1 month now and asked more questions before they were ready to make a change to the zoning ordinance.
They had that in the work session of the last meeting.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the major transmission lines, depending on the voltage and all, will not be underground.
Well, but again, we feel
at a certain point
be.
They could be. Right, and that this perhaps is those that can be, the capacity or the power ratings and what have you. You know, these major things that we see overhead, it's...
But that's not for a new subdivision. Like, this land was raw, undeveloped land, and they're right. running a utility line through it. We, and when I say we, I'm talking about staff, right. felt it should have been underground. Obviously, it wasn't underground. And... now, if there's an existing line out there or a major transmission line that's going to be put in, of course, that would go, that's above ground. But again, this is going to a newly developed area. And again, we felt like that should have been underground.
Right. And this goes back a ways to this in months. We've talked about this.
We talked about this for the last couple of years, and that's why the Planning Commission. It was on the action agenda last year. It was on the action agenda this year. They finally got to it. Yeah.
So what can be done, Roger?
Nothing right now. Nothing will be done on these lines. We're concerned about future lines. You know, what should be the rules for future lines? There's nothing we could change on this line now.
So the rest of the street will all be above ground? Because it won't be a new subdivision.
The line on the street is already above ground. Any service ties to new buildings will be underground. But the existing line that's out there will stay overhead.
Okay. And you're saying that it was a financial reason?
That was one of the reasons they gave us. And that's why we're trying to get that clarified mm-hmm. and get the right language in there. Yeah. Again, there were some questions by the Planning Commission as to what language, what does North Augusta have, and that's what we're doing. And then it'll be back in the Planning Commission's hands at the next July meeting, at the work session.
Well, I think it would cost more money to
do it. Oh,
I know that. But
if it's not financially feasible when everything's all dug up, it's sure isn't going to be feasible later.
And it is going to be expensive, but then again, that was part of our franchise agreement.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. But this has nothing to do with that.
Okay, thank you. I just saw utilities.
I know.
Okay. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
I would really like to ask, I think I heard it, but this roadway has been inspected. And it meets the city code standard? It does.
Thumbs up.
Put a thumb up in the minutes.
Is that a yes, Larry?
Yes, sir.
I know.
And there's a memo here from Mr. Morris stating that his folks have gone out there, I think it's the last page here, mm-hmm. stating that they have made an inspection of the roadway, and it does, no deficiencies were found.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Under petitions, item one, a request for signage for the Aiken Soccer Club. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. The Aiken Soccer Club, which is probably the biggest event of visitors from the outside that... other than probably like at Aiken's Macon, where thousands of individuals come in from around the southeast to participate in these games. A number of these parents and coaches that come here are unfamiliar with Aiken. The fields they play on are not all at one location. They're actually at a multitude of locations, registration, organizational meetings at Odell Weeks. And so the soccer club has asked that they would be given permission to put signs in the parkways, and that council would not only give permission for them to do that this year, but in the future, that they would be able to work directly with the planning department as to the location where those signs need to be. So according to section 449F, it says that council has given approval. You have turned over that approval under other situations with the Polo Club and Aikens-Macon, that is done through staff. Now, in saying all that, we have asked the soccer club, we need to know what the size of those signs are going to be, because in the letter that they're requesting, they don't give a size. I'm going to assume that the size of the signs are similar to what the Polo Club and Aikens-Macon, which are small signs, generally around 8 inches by around 2 feet long. They're stuck in the ground in the parkway, giving a direction where the fields are at. They have not given us the number of signs they want or the location. Because of that, what I'd like to do, unless they got a specific, and we have not looked at that, so I can't even say, here's all these things, and we're giving approval.
Roger, excuse me a minute.
I realize that Terry's back here.
Okay.
And so what we'll be asking council tonight is, because again, whatever they have, we have not really looked at. And we're asking for you to approve the signs, and that the staff could work with the soccer club as to the number and the size and the location, so it's reasonable, and that you're giving us approval not only for this year but for future years to be able to work with them. It's a great event. They've been doing this, I believe, for 11 years. They're expecting 13,000 visitors this year, and so we all agree that the signage is needed. It's just working out the details. So for your consideration tonight, the Aiken Soccer Club is asking council's approval to place directional signs in street right-of-way and for a sign to be hung on the building, which we have done in the past, at the Week Center, for the Aiken Cup event the weekend of August 24th. In addition, they're asking council's approval to allow the planning department to approve these signs in future years.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to say something?
My name is Tara Bostwick. I'm at 525 Lawrence Street Southwest. I'm here tonight representing Aiken Soccer Club, and I apologize. Our president is en route as we speak to England with a soccer team to play against England and Wales, and has asked me at the very last minute to come here and represent the club with our request for signage. If I may, I'd like to pass out the distinct signage requests and where they are, and then I can go through it very briefly.
Certainly. We'll share.
Okay.
You're done. Thank you, Chair. We're okay.
Okay.
Use my glasses these days. As Roger mentioned, we're probably looking at between 10 and 13,000 people that are coming here for the 11th annual soccer tournament that is being held the 25th and the 26th of August. What we are requesting, the signage size, and I don't have the dimension offhand, but is the typical for sale sign that you see at Realtors, and I don't know what that proportion is, but it is the very standard for sale sign made out of corrugated cardboard on the metal rings that you stick into the ground. That's the size, other than the banner that we would like to have on the Odell Weeks gym. That is the standard size for the signage. We're basically looking at three different types of signs that would be posted throughout the town. We're looking at two access points coming into Aiken. We're going to have maps on our website that will direct teams, showing them coming in on Highway 1 from I-20 and also from Highway 19 from the south. The three different types of signs. One would be basically a red and white soccer ball that would have a black arrow that would help show the direction that they need to be. There will also be signs. Actually, why don't we just go through this? Mm-hmm. That might be a better way of looking at it. If we're looking at coming in off of Highway 1, the first sign that we are requesting would be at Park Street and York Street, and it would be a red and white soccer ball with a black arrow. Again, all these signs are uniform. Signs are uniform size as the realtors for sale signs. The next sign would be at South Boundary in York, again with the same red soccer ball and black arrow. Again, Whiskey Road and South Boundary. So you're directing everybody through York Street to South Boundary to Whiskey Road along to Odell Weeks. At Odell Weeks, before Odell Weeks, at Mead, we would have one sign that would be a soccer ball, another sign that would show Whitney Field and Winthrop Field with the arrows, because the polo club leases their polo fields to the soccer club for this event. And then there would be another sign that would show registration going straight along Whiskey Road. The next sign would be opposite Odell Weeks, with an arrow going into Odell Weeks with the registration sign, and again the red and white soccer ball that would go following past Odell Weeks. At Odell Weeks, we'd like to have a Aiken Soccer Club welcomes you sign. I have brought the logo of our cup, which is the same logo that we've been using for the last 10 years. And maybe I could just pass that so you could see. I have a couple. I tried to save on ink on my printer, so I only printed a few. At Odell Weeks, we would like to have a banner probably 4 feet by 8 feet flush against the wall that would say Aiken Soccer Club welcomes you. To very generic, but it would have this logo on it. Going back to Whiskey Road, the arrow that continues the soccer ball and the arrow to Pine Log and Whiskey. And again, we'd have a red and white soccer ball with the black arrow that would make a left onto Pine Log. At Pine Log and Whiskey, at Pine Log and Powderhouse, we would have the soccer ball and an arrow, and also the signage that would say Powderhouse Field, because they are using Powderhouse Fields as well. We would also have that arrow would continue on to Banks Mill, where you would have, again, at Banks Mill and Pine Log, you would have the signage showing Citizens Park to your left. Our anticipation is that we only need signage for the Odell Weeks registration welcome sign and the registration up until about 10 p.m. on Friday, August 24th, which we would remove at that point. We're requesting that we have these signs up probably about 2 o'clock on Friday, the 24th, and we would remove them no later than Sunday, August 26th. The tournament will be over probably no later than 5 o'clock.
Okay.
In my adding, Mr. Mayor.
I think it's eight. Roger.
There's eight signs. But again, if you could, if approve this list, but give the planning staff some flexibility.
Right.
So if they need to add a couple more signs, they could. Because I'm thinking if somebody's coming down Highway 19 or Lawrence Street, there's no directional sign showing where they need to go.
I think you're right. The Highway 19, I think we were looking at having a back-to-back sign that would let's think of that Pine Log Whiskey Road intersection, that you would have somebody coming from there, you'd have a soccer ball on the back side of one of those signs that would show the Pine Log going up towards Powderhouse and Whiskey. But yes, you're right. It would be nice to have the flexibility. I apologize. This was very last minute for me to be here this evening.
Well,
let me just comment, your sign looks impressive based on what you just passed to us. You counted eight, Roger?
Yes.
That's what I was going to recommend, that we give, that we allow some flexibility in not knowing how many signs you will actually need until you start putting them up. I see this as a good way to minimize some safety concerns for folks with that many people coming into town. And if there are no more questions,
yeah,
I'd like to entertain
And also to approve this not only for this year, but for
but subsequent years.
Let's try to come to the Planning Commission and say this is what we need this year.
For the Planning Department.
That would be great.
Okay, we have a motion.
Yes.
I'll second it.
My only suggestion would be you might even want one at York and Richland so they don't turn right.
Yeah.
York and Richland. You know, as you come
very
from
welcome.
Highway 1.
Yep.
So you have,
where it says Highway 1, you have to keep on going. Yeah, that's a very good point for that.
Right. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
There's a
yes, sir.
Question, yes.
John? Sure.
John Conley, Springwood Drive. You know from me from previous meetings. Just a little facetious comment, clarification. This is soccer, not polo, correct? I was a little confused by the logo. But on a serious note, I think that it's great bringing all these visitors into town, and these signs will certainly help. But I would ask whichever, I'm not sure which department in the city is responsible for it, but in driving through the city recently, I've noticed that after the spring, a number of our boulevards have had, the growth has increased, and in some places where you have yield signs, you almost have to be on top of the roadway before you can see the oncoming traffic. And I thought maybe, especially with all this great numbers of visitors come to town, maybe the city department that's responsible for these boulevards could take a look at the intersections and make sure that we don't have to trim back some of the shrubbery because of the growth that's happened earlier this year.
We can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Okay. All in favor? Show of hands. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Tara, very much. This is a wonderful event. There's no doubt about it. Item 2, request for approval of the South Carolina DOT plans for intersection improvements at Daugherty Road and Silver Bluff Road. Mr. Duke.
We have given you the cover plan that the Highway Department has asked approval on for the Daugherty Road. With that, that would provide two left turn lanes on Daugherty Road that would be turning onto Silver Bluff Road. Currently, if you've ever tried to make that maneuver at around somewhere around 5 o'clock to about 6 o'clock, depending on the time of day, sometimes early, sometimes later, it will back up way past South Aiken Baptist Church. And so what we've been discussing with the Highway Department for the last several years is to make improvements to that roadway. The plans have already been developed. The reason I didn't give you a full set of plans is most of them is just cross sections that they have here of the area and things that you're probably not interested in. So there really is just that one detail. If you approve it tonight, the mayor would sign for city council, would send this back saying we're ready to move forward. The only thing that we're waiting on to move forward on this set of plans is an issue came up about, Mayor, about a year ago concerning drainage and the fact that the additional drainage from the additional lane that we have to be built here, that already South Aiken Baptist Church is experiencing some flooding in their playing field area. The city stated that they would work with the Highway Department. Larry Morris has been meeting with them, the county, and South Aiken Baptist Church, and developed a set of plans so that this water would be able to go into the detention pond behind Walmart. For the last 2 years, we've been working with Walmart to try to acquire the detention pond so that we could do the Pawnee-Nielsen extension that you have seen the plans are and that we have money set aside for that work. We've been working with them for the last couple of years. We're going to have a face-to-face meeting with Walmart on July 17th at 8 a.m. at that site, or 8:30 in the morning, to hopefully be able to work out these details. If not, we'll have to take it possibly to the next level and to help us get this property so that we can put in that roadway, which we feel is a safety improvement, and to take care of this drainage. But hopefully everything can be worked out on the 17th of July. Mr. Morris, Ted Jones have been working with them for diligently for a long time. The mayor called up this morning and spoke to them, and that's when the meeting was set up. So we feel that we're optimistic we'll be able to work out all those details. And so what we're asking tonight is to approve a resolution concerning a municipal agreement with the Highway Department concerning the improvements at Doherty and Silver Oak Road for these double left turn lanes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion?
Could I ask a question first?
Sure.
Is it gonna widen that road there at that corner?
It's adding another lane.
It will. Actually, the widening will take place. If you go out there, there's stakes right now on the South Aiken Baptist Church property.
It's on that side, then.
So all the widening will be done on that side.
So that buffer will remain on the south side of the road?
That is correct.
Okay. I just couldn't figure out how that was going
to... Now, we are looking at how in the world can we add another lane so you can have a double right, or at least have an exclusive right turn lane on a Doherty Road, because that traffic backs up on Silver Bluff all the way to Pine Log Silver Bluff intersection, or towards Center South where the gas station is at. We've done a study on it, looked at the traffic counts, looked at some options, and right now we're exploring. Currently, all the lanes on Silver Bluff, and there's five lanes. There's a left turn lane and two through lanes going in each direction. There's five lanes there. Each one of them is around 12 feet wide. If you narrow the lanes to about 10 feet wide, you could probably go ahead and restripe it and get a right turn lane in exclusively. So we're looking at that and seeing what other changes could be made on Silver Bluff, because we know we have a congestion. So we'll be able to take care of the congestion by these set of plans on Doherty. But we're looking in the future, what can we do about the other direction? Because otherwise, you're starting to take away some of that buffer of the shopping center, the little mini shopping center that's there. And there's really not any land really available in that area.
And it drops.
And it drops down. So there's a number of issues. So we're going to try to come up with some solutions and come back to City Council. If you like it, then we'll proceed and talk to the Highway Department about it.
Right. In that, could I ask you, both lanes, you have two straight through or right turn, and one is right turn lane. And you've got that left turn lane, which is horribly wasted because it's used very, very little. It is. I've not seen very many people making a left turn there.
That would be onto Oriole and Cardinal.
Oriole and Cardinal. Right.
I can ask Mr. Wells, who lives over there.
It's true, in terms of count.
But what you would be doing is, if you eliminated that left turn lane, number one, you have an opposite left turn lane, and you'd be offsetting the intersection.
No, I understand that as well, but it'll give you a little more room on that side for a dedicated right-hand turn lane and a straight-through lane. That's really what...
Yeah, and we have our traffic engineer looking at several different possibilities. It's just because the constraints of the right-of-way within that area, again, we're just looking at a number of different solutions.
It seems to me, though, that in the end we're going to have to bite the bullet, because we're looking at an intersection that I think the last count was like 21,000 vehicles a day, which is at critical mass for...
It's certainly operating at a level of E or F, depending on the time of the day.
At specific times.
Yeah.
Roger. Now, Dick, I haven't hung out at that intersection like you to know exactly how many cars turn left. But, you know, my concern is if you do away with the left-hand turn lane, and then you've got a car that's pulled up in a lane that ordinarily would go straight, and now they're trying to turn left, you're going to back that traffic back up.
What I would actually make that is a no left turn, and you do what is not uncommon, where you do a U further down the street. For 100 or 200 cars a day, we're jamming up a lot of things. Sometimes something has to give.
We'll get you some more information on that. We have actually done traffic counts and studies. And Ben, did we get the final report on that yet? Okay, so we, in fact, I'll try to get that to you at the next meeting, because we've been studying that for the last 6 months based on what we discussed, so.
Okay.
But that has nothing to do with this or not.
That's right. Do we have a motion?
I agree, but it's a good time to talk about it.
I move for approval of the SCDOT plan for the intersection at Daugherty.
All right, I second it. Any other discussion?
You got one out here, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
It's a good thing Jonathan's here tonight.
Huh?
Good thing he's here.
He's got a lot of experience at that intersection, I think.
Jonathan Lockwood, 1265 Moultrie. In addition to the issue of the right turn from Pine Log into Daugherty, there's an issue of the synchronization of the traffic lights, because if you're coming Silver Bluff, you know, what happens is that light change there at the gas station and then the traffic light at Daugherty, people pile up from Pine Log and basically, you know, they'll be hanging out there, and before the other light changes, you're lucky to get one or two cars moving. So in addition, you know, like I'm saying, to the actual physical realignment of the roadway, there's a looking at the sequencing of the lights to somehow space it better.
Okay. Okay, thank you. All right, we have a motion and second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? All in favor. Passed unanimously. Okay, that's all on our agenda. We stand adjourned.